A62. Number 11A.
We left the subject that truth, the consciousness of truth. I was asking, now what is the difference of the consciousness of truth compared with the consciousness of mind? What is that difference? Yes? Please, yes?
The consciousness of mind would be the basis of all information.
Yes?
The ideas. And the consciousness of truth, the awareness of the gestalt of being.
The wholeness of being. But the wholeness of being, yes, yes.
But does that maybe not make the difference you want to
make? Yes, yes. Absolutely, yes, thank you. Did I look a bit distracted? Yes. Now it's right that when we speak about truth and symbolize truth through consciousness, we really naturally mean the divine consciousness, not just consciousness. We mean the divine consciousness, and we have defined divine consciousness as the awareness or awareness of all the facts that there are, the wholeness of all that exists. We said it's awareness of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. This is the awareness, the consciousness, the divine consciousness. The moment we speak about the consciousness of mind, we specify that consciousness and say it is that consciousness is conscious of ideas. Because that's the consciousness of mind compared with the consciousness of mortal mind, the human consciousness. All that which has to do with the subconscious, the unconscious, is all bringing out that that consciousness is not filled with ideas. So actually we should always make distinction when we speak about consciousness, that we should always put an adjective in front of consciousness and say immortal consciousness or divine consciousness, so that we distinguish it from the general use of the word in the world, which speaks about consciousness, but they mean consciousness of human thought. Not of ideas, you see. Whereas the consciousness of mind says it is only a consciousness which is only conscious of ideas and of nothing else. Whereas mortal consciousness is conscious of illusions, beliefs, opinions. It's that mortal, illusive consciousness. Yes. Now, when would we use the consciousness of spirit, which is actually nothing different than spiritual consciousness? The consciousness of spirit is actually spiritual consciousness. When would we use this in our language of Christian Science? When what is under discussion? The consciousness of spirit.
Material consciousness.
Not the human consciousness, huh? Because we have seen that is much more the consciousness of mind, huh? Because the human consciousness is conscious of illusions, huh? Whereas the divine consciousness is conscious of ideas, that's the consciousness of mind, and the consciousness of spirit would be, we would use that when we would say that consciousness is absolutely independent of matter. That matter is no factor forming consciousness. Then we would use spiritual consciousness. Therefore it would somehow give the nature of that consciousness that it is dependent of spirit, formed by spirit, brought forth by spirit, has a spiritual nature, Whereas the general belief also is that consciousness is dependent on material, on the material brain. That if there is no more material brain, there is no more consciousness. That's a great point now, today, that the question is now, does there exist a suprahuman consciousness, a cosmic consciousness, a consciousness that is absolutely independent of human brain? This is now investigated very seriously, and people in general arrive now at the conclusion that such a consciousness exists. So that today they say that consciousness makes us think, and no more that we think because we have a consciousness and fill our consciousness. Yes? All right. When would we use the consciousness of soul?
Material
sense. I would say it in order to counteract material senses, feelings, sensual personal feelings, and so on. Everything that has to do with the senses. Why is there a belief that the senses can give us a consciousness? Yeah, certainly. See, it's the sensuous consciousness of which Mrs. Eddy speaks. She speaks about sensuous consciousness, which says our consciousness only is formed, molded by sense testimony, by sense reaction, by the material senses, the corporeal senses, by sense testimony. This is that which forms our consciousness. And so we have perhaps people who are more centrally conscious than others are, and therefore in order to offset that, we would see that actually only that consciousness which is built on spiritual sense, on spiritual understanding, would be the consciousness of soul. Yes? Therefore, in the Christian Science textbook, all those many, many, many references to show that we should look away from the body, that we should not believe the testimony of the physical senses, that that should not inform our sentiments, and that therefore the sensuous realm is not molding our consciousness. Yeah?
What would you say about emotions being part of the unconscious, subconscious?
Yes, they can be part of the subconscious and on the unconscious. They can also be part of the conscious. We also want to emotionalize very much, especially when one sees today that actually it is in now, also to get into emotion and into ecstasy in order to expand consciousness. That's a very big trend today, so that emotions are considered to be that which may expand our consciousness. Yeah. Then we come to the consciousness of truth, completely different
principle.
I don't know my synonyms anymore. Yeah. The consciousness of principle, this is a rare combination, really, The consciousness of principle. When would you think we would use that? Actually, it's a very, very terrific thing, the consciousness of principle. What would it offset anyway? What would it offset anyway?
Disorder.
You have to stick to the categories, to consciousness and to principle. Disorder is a counterfeit of spirit.
the outside of consciousness of persons in personal sense.
Don't we speak about personal consciousness? Huh? About people's consciousness? Huh? Meaning that people have their own consciousness. This is a big thing, isn't it? That one feels that everybody has his or her own consciousness. It's a personal consciousness. And we would offset that by seeing that principle has a consciousness. Do you realize what that would mean? If we would really see that, we would really see that that principle has a consciousness. What would happen if, what can we expect from such a statement? It is true that principle has consciousness, not people have a consciousness. What would we expect from that?
Get rid of a people universe.
That, anyway, that would be nice in the first place. We would get rid of a people universe. Positively, in a positive way, you get something terrific.
Say a principled consciousness, offsetting an unprincipled consciousness.
You could say that it's offsetting an unprincipled consciousness, but still, that's very good. But something very big you have when you see that principle has a consciousness. Do you know what that means? If you, first of all, is this a true statement? Has principle a consciousness? Yes. Huh? Very definitely. So it's a scientific fact. Can you see the implication of it? No? All right, I think. Yes, you can. Can you see that? Can you see the implication of it? Take the opposite first in order to see the implication. If we have a personal consciousness, we know that consciousness determines our experience. Do we or do we not?
Yeah.
Yeah. If we have a personal consciousness, we have an experience that reflects that personal consciousness. All the hell we want, we get. Therefore, our whole life is actually nothing else but the outcome of a personal consciousness. Because consciousness is motivating our experience. Now, think of it. If we see, we really would see that principle as a consciousness, if we would see that, then we would see that principle is constantly conscious of its own operation. Therefore, it would constantly bring out principle's own experience. At that point, we would not even have any more to think, how are we going to make a demonstration? How are we going to set things right? Then we would see that everything that ever is going on is actually principle being conscious of itself. There is no other consciousness going on. There is no possibility of a mortal consciousness going on. There is no possibility of a personal consciousness going on. Therefore, there is no possibility of any of these personal consciousness bringing forth a wrong experience. There is just no such a possibility. And all what is possible then is that principle is constantly conscious of itself and bringing forth its own experience. Isn't it terrific? See, the whole thing is so simple, you know. When we know those synonymous terms, we play just with seven, constantly. We don't need more than always a seven. For days we are now thinking just with seven factors. And the whole gamut of mortal experience can be handled by that seven, in the first instance. Terrific. We only would believe these seven synonymous terms. They would say, I'm a principle, and I'm reflecting consciousness. I'm the consciousness of principle. And if we know the implication of a consciousness, that everything depends on consciousness, that consciousness brings forth all what happens every second in every moment of our life, that it determines our life until the end of days, then we would think, Oh, that's wonderful. Then principle is being conscious of what's going on. Principle is conscious of what has to go on. Principle is conscious of how it has to go on. Principle is conscious of what channels it uses that things go on. Principle is conscious of its own purpose. Principle is conscious of its own plan, how to achieve that purpose. Principle is conscious of itself to fulfill itself, and how to fulfill itself, and which way to take it, and which order to do it. You don't get at any end. Just with principle truth. Can I show you, at least, without that you understand now or have made note, but can you at least see the terrific impact of being a master of the seven synonymous terms? The admission to oneself that man is God's own idea sets man free to master the infinite idea. We can master the infinite idea. But only on that basis to see, to admit that we are, that man is God's own likeness. So if principle's own likeness is also truth and is also love and everything, God, we have a terrific new universe going on. Because principle is self-operating. That we know too. We don't have to make principle work. But what we have to do is to accept it. To accept that new paradigm. So that we let the consciousness of principle operate. How much you know, as long as you work in metaphysics and Christian Science, You know it. What the hell, what a burden it is. Always to think right. Constantly to be on your toes and say, do I think right? Do I think wrong? If I think wrong, then I will get it. I will get it full and plenty back. Only if I can think right, then perhaps I will make the demonstration. Did I think it right? Did I say something wrong? Isn't that a hell of a job?
Yeah.
See? It is, huh?
Yeah.
And how very different is science. Science is always to go out from the infinite one and to let the infinite one operate as its infinite idea. And we only have to fill our consciousness with that. We don't have to make it work. It works by itself. We only have not to stand in the way. We have to get out of the way with our thoughts and false concepts. So that the principle works by itself. Yeah, that's the consciousness of principle. The consciousness of life. What is the consciousness of life? Just think a little bit. The consciousness of life, what do you feel? When do we need that? To offset what? That consciousness could stop, yeah? Didn't you ever have a consciousness of lack, a consciousness of dying, a consciousness that everything goes to an end, that everything will have an end, that everything can go down the drain? Don't we have a consciousness of that? Of lack? Then we would have to counteract that with a consciousness of life, which would be the consciousness of the fullness of life, the eternality of life, the deathlessness of life, the infinite supply of life. That would be the consciousness of life. Yes? Can you see in this example, for instance, again, I just bring it out over and over and over again, can you see that consciousness is not an idea of life? Can you see that? Though we use a consciousness of life. Consciousness is an idea of truth, because truth says, I know what is true. It's typically truth. It's affirming what is true all over. The wholeness of truth is affirming. So the consciousness of life is only always saying to which point is that consciousness directed, to which problem is that consciousness directed. Huh? Here in the consciousness of life, it's directed towards that very small sector of claims that we are aware or conscious that things can come to an end, that somehow everything ends in death and in destruction and in lack and poverty and so on. That small section of to which consciousness is directed to, is corrected by the consciousness of life. Not the intrinsic sense of consciousness is corrected here. Yeah? Please say no when it's no. Huh? Because this is necessary, huh? Or else we are apt just to play with words, you know? And the tonality of the synonyms get blurred if you don't see that. See, the combinations can blur again what you have gained in tonality. And you say, oh, it's the consciousness of life, it's the consciousness of soul, it's the consciousness of mind, you know, it's just consciousness. No, it must stand out very clearly that these are combinations and not intrinsic ideas of consciousness. Hmm? If I'm in the human, how could I say, I have a consciousness, huh? Well, if I am conscious that over there is a house and a tree, if I am conscious about that, then that has nothing to do with consciousness, that house. That house has to do with bricks. See? Therefore, if I say I am conscious of a house, that does not mean that consciousness is a house. See? That of is always showing somehow about what, huh? And therefore brings in an object, huh? The objective sense. So, whereas consciousness, if I ask what is consciousness, I don't say consciousness is a tree and a house, because I'm conscious about, huh? You see? But I would have to say what is intrinsically meant with consciousness. I would say, well, it's that which is constantly aware of something and always knows that something, and in awake consciousness I can recall everything to that consciousness. Whichever I have ever known, I can recall it, I can store it up so that everything that ever came through my consciousness is there, and I can re-establish it and affirm it and be. You see, I wouldn't say, well, it has to do with the house and the mountain and the trees I have ever seen. Yeah. All right. We go to consciousness of, we have with life, consciousness of love. That's another one. How often do we speak about the consciousness of love? Huh? Yeah. What is meant by it? When would we use that? Yes, Arjuna.
So even to be conscious of in your everyday life of negatives, and be conscious of the sum total of love's perfect plan.
Yes. So here again you have made the exception and say, I can also use it in a positive way. Huh? Therefore, if you want to stress, say that you can be conscious about the whole plan and about the perfection and the fulfillment and anticipate really the fulfillment, then you say, well, in the consciousness of love, I can see already the fulfillment of the idea. There you would not say in the consciousness of truth, because your subject would be on that point. And to set the negative, yes, Rick?
Almogene's consciousness would then say, handle a conscious, a beautiful world, an
Yeah. You see, the negative, huh? So it's okay, Amajin. I don't think it's wrong. Huh? It's all right. Huh? But usually we would have to see that our consciousness is full of fear, hate, jealousy, revenge, huh? Resentment, and all that, etc., of all that, which are the negatives of love. Huh? That we have that kind of consciousness of malice. When all that consciousness is seen, we say, how can I handle that? Huh? We couldn't handle it with the consciousness of life, huh? Or with the consciousness of spirit. Huh? But we would have had to handle it with the consciousness of love. Because love is the fact about hate, fear, malice, jealousy, revenge, huh? Anxiety, etc. Yes. So in that case, we would have this wonderful sense of the consciousness of love, which would heal us of all these... Also, if you have a sense of separation, you know, to be separated from being, a sense of being deprived of things, sense of separation, of being lonely, isolated, then actually only a sense of love can help you. So that people, all those many people who feel they are alone, nobody cares anymore about themselves, they are isolated, they have no more contact, they are no more worth anything, and so on. So many elderly people, perhaps, or people who have difficulty in finding a contact, they wouldn't be helped very much by saying, well, you must have a consciousness of life. They would say, oh, I have a consciousness of life, I live, huh? Or you must have a consciousness of spirit. They say, all right, I have plenty of spirit because there is not much around about me anymore. Huh? So all that is left is the spirit. They need love, huh? A consciousness of love where they begin to see they are not isolated, they are still one with the whole, that they are embraced by the whole, that their whole being is in a plane of the whole, and finds a fulfillment. That would help them. Yes. Good. That's that. Well, we would come to the next one, and that would be an idea of love. I wonder what you choose as an idea of love which we want to consider. Doesn't matter which one you take. Yes, what would you like to take? Fulfillment. Okay. I will take fulfillment. Fulfillment is an idea of love.